And actually, O'Toole has since said that it wasn't just the donation that has caused Derek Sloan to get booted from the party. He said that in a statement afterwards, but that does go against what he initially kicked them out for. He said that he was accept that this behavior had no place in the Conservative Party. I think it was a bit cowardly, if I'm going to tell you the truth. Hello, dear viewers, and welcome back to This Week in Canada, episode 34. My name is Roberto Wakerel Cruz, and with me is Nico Johnson. Please say hello.
Hey, my name is Nico. I'm the political editor of the Post Manual, and it's been a remarkably exciting week. A few weeks ago, we had a bit of a boring one, but this week was so exciting that we had to sort of compact as many issues as we possibly could into a 20-minute segment, and we actually found it quite difficult. So it's going to be a good one, I think, Bobby.
I think it's going to be a packed show. It's going to be very packed. It's going to be a very packed show. So let's just get the ball rolling. Let's start with the story that everyone seems to have an opinion on in Canada if you follow Conservative politics, and that is the Sloan Ranger, Derek Sloan, now an independent MP, after a bit of a scandal. So, Nico, why don't you take the reins on this one?
Yeah, well, you could say he's become a real Sloaner after this particular incident, you know, being out there in the total wild.
You could say that.
I'll present the facts first, and then perhaps I'll give my opinion. And I don't know what Bobby's perspective is on this issue, so I'll be actually quite interested to know. But here we go. Essentially, during the leadership campaign, he ran to be the leader of the Conservative Party. It was quite a contentious run. He said some things which got him in hot water about Theresa Tam, if you remember that. He said some things, you know, about social conservatism. He's a strong social conservative. But anyway, in this campaign, he received a donation which came to about a total of $110, a bit more or less, but it was in that field. It constituted 0.01% of his total campaign donations received. I think he received something like $1 million throughout the entire thing. And it turned out to be from a guy who is a white supremacist. He has very, very radical, unpleasant opinions about certain things. And people who hold those opinions shouldn't be allowed in the Conservative Party. Now, the first important thing to note about this is that it's quite a small amount, and it's quite hard to really figure out who's donating what, verifying each individual donation. That's obviously quite a hard thing to do. Secondly, the white supremacist didn't actually use his real name. I think he used a fake sort of alias. So you can also give it to Sloan to say, well, firstly, you could say that he did, you know, check it. But how can you check against something where they use a different name, which is also for a very small sum of money? Now, this to me is a political thing. I think Erin O'Toole thinks there's going to be an election pretty soon, and Derek Sloan has become a bit of a pain in his ass. I think Derek Sloan loses votes for the Conservative Party, and Erin O'Toole knows that. I think it's hard to have someone like that on your side. If you look at Liberal fundraising, for instance, they bring him up in like every letter. They throw him, they talk about him as much as possible, because only a very small segment of Canadian society actually likes the guy. Even in the Conservative Party, he's not very popular, which is why I think his caucus colleagues voted him out in the first place. So although I think this is essentially a fabricated means of getting him gone, you know, just taking the issue off the chest, you know, getting some ammunition back from the Liberal Party, it's important, and I think it is actually a good decision, which is a bit controversial. At the end of the day, politics is about power. That's it. There's no other point to it. And if you are spend your time competing about your values, saying who's the purest conservative, and not sacrificing anything, not giving any concessions, you will never win. Which means although you can't put everything, you can't make everything as you want it in Canada, you can at the very least do a little bit. And a little bit is better than nothing. And at the end of the day, having people like Derek Sloan in the party means the Conservatives will never get elected. And it means social Conservatives will never ever get any of the legislation they want through when through the moderate Conservative parties they would. So, I mean, that's my argument. Okay. Everything's about power, and that's the whole point. So this was a clever move, slightly Machiavellian and a bit nefarious, but it was a move worth doing.
Yeah, well, that's, You sort of hit on some things that I agree with. The main thing that I felt, and I felt right away, and actually O'Toole has since said that it wasn't just the donation that has caused Derek Sloan to get booted from the party. He said that in a statement afterwards, but that does go against what he initially kicked them out for. He said that he was accept that this behavior had no place in the Conservative Party. I think it was a bit cowardly, if I'm going to tell you the truth. I think the way that it was done was, it kind of speaks to the character of O'Toole a little bit in a way that I don't like. It kind of just seems like a part of my language, a bitch move to kind of just kick out a guy for, you know, basically something that nobody could have seen coming. And as Sloan pointed out himself, the Conservative Party took 10% cut of that donation and accepted it as well. They took $13 from the guy. I can't remember his name quite, so I'm not gonna say it, but so the Conservatives couldn't even vet this donation. They didn't know until eventually someone must have tipped them off. I don't know. I do agree that the Conservative Party for a while has been pretty clear that they're not huge fans of Derek Sloan, whether it was accusing Theresa Tam of being a foreign agent because she was Chinese, or what was the other thing? Oh, the vaccination. The vaccination petition, where it's like, I actually read that petition, wasn't actually that bad, but at the same time, it's just getting all this negative press. The other thing that I don't like is that it kind of kowtows to the liberals, who, you're right, have been calling for Sloan's resignation for a long time. But the thing is, you know, you give an inch, they take a mile. What happened now, has happened, is that you have all these liberal MPs tweeting, wow, it sure did take a long time for Aaron O'Toole to expel Derek Sloan.
Yeah, but now they can't bring it up in the election. You know, okay, this, you said Aaron O'Toole is cowardly for this. The thing is, he's going to get a lot of heat from the social sort of grassroots of the Conservative Party. He's going to get in a lot of trouble for that. There's a delegation coming up soon. I saw a Western Standard exclusive which said one of the reasons perhaps Aaron O'Toole was happy to do this was because the Conservative Conference is coming soon, and they hope that some of the social Conservatives after this move will actually leave the Conservative Party so they can become more moderate. But this, at the end of the day, was a hard, you know, quite a calculated decision from O'Toole. And I think what social Conservatives, what Derek Sloan even, could agree with O'Toole on, is that Canada is being damaged by the Liberal Party in no small way. And if this gives us a slightly better chance of defeating Justin Trudeau, of issuing in some Conservative agenda, then at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it. And now, you're never going to see a fundraising email from the Liberals. You know, they're not going to make as much money off Derek Sloan anymore. It's not a tactic they can bring out in the next probably spring election. You know, you won't see ads on TV about Derek Sloan anymore. It's just, it was just the path of least resistance to getting Trudeau out of office. This is just one of the small, tough decisions that Aaron O'Toole is going to have to make as a leader. Yeah, and that, I think he accepted the hard political truths, and it's unpleasant. It's, you know, as I said, it's Machiavellian. It's pretty dark politics. It's obviously fabricated, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not really his fault, let's be honest. But Sloan just hurts the Conservative movement. Yeah. He's not an asset.
We'll see what exactly is the future for Derek Sloan. There's not a whole lot of independent MPs. I think there's about maybe three or four. There's Jody Wilson-Raybould, that former liberal who allegedly sexually assaulted a woman in her house. What's his and Derek Sloan. So, I mean, it's not a very pleasant country to be an independent in. And I dislike the way it happened because, you know what, Derek Sloan's been the butt of our jokes for a long time. He's been our idiot of the week back when we did that. He's weird. I don't really like him a whole lot. But I don't feel like him being kicked out, I don't think he should have been kicked out and characterized as this like white supremacist kind of guy. I think it's a bit unfair. I think he's just stupid. I don't think he's a racist.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, should we move on to our next topic? What a sweet transition. Wow, that was amazing. You know what else would be amazing? Going to our PayPal links, buying one of our t-shirts that we now have available, buying a soda stream. They're very cool t-shirts. We're going to have more t-shirts coming out soon, but buy these ones. These ones are great. Give us a follow on social media, the Postmillennial or me at Robertopedia or NicoJohnson00. You might see another Nico Johnson. There is other Nico Johnsons out in the world. Specifically, this one fella who looks nothing like Nico. He played in the NFL. You won't get them confused. But anyway, let's move on to our next topic, Nico, which was another biggie. And this one actually involves the United States of America, specifically Joseph Biden, the new president of the United States, allegedly. Yeah, no, the president of the U.S., number 46, Joe Biden, who decided to revoke the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have provided 60,000 jobs to Alberta. It would have brought oil or petroleum all the way from Alberta all the way down to Nebraska, something like 8,000, a whole lot of barrels. I don't know what a barrel is, a lot to me already. So like some unbelievable amount of barrels of oil. And anyway, this was shot down on Big Biden's first day, just said nope. And the reason that this is controversial, well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, this is going to cost Canada 60,000 jobs. 60,000 jobs is a lot just of gone. Jobs to be just are gone. And for a reference, December's unemployment numbers, we had the worst month we've had since since the start of the pandemic, and we lost 60,000 jobs. So just as a reference, it's a month's just a cataclysmic amount of jobs to lose for the long term. The second thing that got a big, a lot of attention was Justin Trudeau's statement afterwards. I don't know if you saw, Nico, did you see the statement?
I did see it, and it was noticeable for how wet it was. You know, there was no clear condemnation. I think they basically did what the Liberals ideologically wanted to do, but politically couldn't, which is why there wasn't much resistance.
Exactly.
I mean, for instance, I sent Bobby some tweets the other day. It was from Stephen Gilbo, the heritage minister, known for such things as trying to regulate the internet and shutting out independent media.
Known as trying to remove hate from the internet. It's like it's like removing blood from a, you know, a pound of flesh or whatever. It's ridiculous, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and you gave back to his tweets from only a few years ago, basically before he became a Liberal MP, and there's like 8 separate tweets condemning the pipeline, basically begging the American president, Obama at the time, to get rid of it. So I think they secretly wanted this to happen, which is a shame, because it's going to really hurt.
How many projects now have they messed up? There was the Trans Mountain one that Justin Trudeau bought so that the federal government could finally complete, and then it turns out that they couldn't complete it because they forgot to ask Indigenous people what they thought. It just never happened. There's this one now that Trudeau has pretended to care about for what, 4 years, 3 years now.
We have the Tech Frontier mine.
The Tech Frontier mine
officially shut down, but they just made it so difficult.
They just put it in limbo. They put it in limbo for so long, and then you had all these Indigenous rights activists blocking off trains. So they just called it quits because Canada was a hostile environment for energy. Nico was personally affected.
That was one of the worst weeks of my life. I had to get a plane from Montreal to Toronto, which was so expensive. Because like 4 people sat on the railway track, and everyone was too sensitive to remove these protesters. But anyway... I mean, so, you know, they're crying crocodile tears, I think, Bobby.
We actually never said what was in the statement that Trudeau released, and this is what caught my attention, and it's why I think it's so bad. Trudeau said he was, quote, looking forward, right, to working with Biden to, again, to reduce pollution and combat climate change, and also said he was looking forward to building back better with Biden. I mean, what?
I know. I saw you raise an eyebrow to that, Bobby.
So the takeaway, he did say he was disappointed, but to go on in the same breath, in the same statement, and say, you know, Albertans and Saskatchewanians and all of Canada, we have their backs. But with this project being closed, I gotta admit, I'm looking forward to being really proactive on the environment with Joe Biden. And good job on joining the Paris Accord. And you know what? Things happen. He said Canada's voice was gonna be heard at the table while Joe Biden was making this decision, which everyone that's been paying attention just knows that means that the project wasn't gonna go through. It's crying crocodile tears. I don't think Justin Trudeau actually cares. And even Jagmeet Singh did say something to the effect of, Justin Trudeau has pretended to want this project for 5 years, and he let down Albertans and the people on the prairies because, you know, the NDP is trying to get back in Alberta with everybody mad at Kenny. But regardless of that, big mistake, and I think it's the writing's on the wall. You know, back in 2016, Joe Biden visited Trudeau at this big dinner thing, and he said, you know, "Vive la Canada" and all this stuff, and was talking about how climate change was the number one issue that was affecting us all, or whatever. Even though he's going to be dead in a year, he's not going to see what the climate's going to be like anyway. But it's a really big issue for Joe. And I think, you know, through all these environmental regulations, we're going to see a lot of jobs fleeing Canada. We're not going to see a lot of prosperity in a time where Canada is bleeding. We're bleeding jobs. We're bleeding opportunity. Nothing's going right. it's not pretty. Not pretty, Nico, I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why Western Canadians feel so disenfranchised with Canadian politics. I mean, my God, if I lived in Alberta, I mean, Bobby and I, you know, we're from Ontario, but we live in Quebec. So we don't actually get to meet many Western Canadians, not regularly. You know, we interact with them online. But I would be furious if I was in Alberta and 60,000 jobs just disappeared from what is basically ideology, just dogma, you know? Yep. God, I empathize with you guys, if any of you actually are from Western Canada. And, you know, hopefully we can vote this guy out and actually try and rejig the Albertan economy, finally.
Yeah. Next segment?
Yeah, actually, let me do an update. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
But Roberto Wakefield-Cruz, boy, do I have an update for you. A few weeks ago, we talked about this government program. Now, this came in the aftermath of the, you know, Black Lives Matter protest. You may remember last year rather, Justin Trudeau came out and protested his own government. And in order to remedy his racism, I think, he decided to create a program which essentially gave millions and millions of dollars to black entrepreneurs. Now, at the time, I was a bit worried about this because I think it isn't exactly a wonderful precedent that governments are now constructing policy based on race. Because, I mean, for quite pragmatic reasons, firstly, surely that means there's going to be white people or Asian people or just people who aren't black who deserve it not getting the money. And surely you're going to be giving money to black people who are doing well or just simply don't need the money. You know, it's just a bad way. Race should be arbitrary. That's what we have been working on for centuries, literally. So I thought this was a terrible policy. I think Bobby agreed with me. And then I think on Saturday, we found out via the Toronto Star that black people or certain black businesses, such as, and I quote, Operation Black Votes Canada, hadn't been receiving money because Ottawa bureaucrats decided they weren't black enough. Now, this is so morally repugnant. I mean, I hate to draw sort of inflammatory, you know, comparisons, but it sort of reminded me of like apartheid South Africa, where they put pencils through people's hair to determine whether they're black or not. I mean, the fact that you had like these like master's students effectively saying who's black and who isn't is just so awful. Like, it's the most shocking thing. And it's happened because liberals, and I mean that as a small L liberal, have become so wet about the whole race thing that they don't actually care whether policy makes sense. All they have to do is show that they are virtuous. And it's ended predictably in disaster. So thanks, Trudeau. Really appreciate that.
Obviously, Trudeau. I mean, obviously, this was just something for Trudeau to point to when he gets called a racist, right? I mean, Justin Trudeau wore blackface. You know, how have you, how have you paid for your sins? Well, we started the Black Business Fund where we gave, you know, whatever, $200 million or whatever the amount of money, all this money to black people. So we're giving people money because they're black, and there's no way this is going to end poorly at all. And what the program just started, and immediately we have, some Ottawa bureaucrat just being like, you look a little too white.
Awful.
You could actually be Australian Indigenous. I don't think you're black, really, man. It's like, oh, you're Egyptian. Yeah, you're not really black. it's a bad call. Bad call by the liberals there.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. You want to move on to the final segment here, Nick? Cool. We're going to transition and moving into our last segment here, which is some really shocking news. You know, in this era of Me Too, accountability and sensitivity, we want to be sure that nobody feels threatened. And Doug Ford, according to one Toronto city councilor, I believe, threatened to sexually assault the Canadian CEO of Pfizer. So, Nico, why don't you take the lead?
Yeah, there's a Toronto City Councillor. Her name is Kirsten Young. Perhaps we can get a photo up. So there you are. That's her. And basically, she said on Twitter that that it's like Ford is threatening the CEO of the Pfizer vaccine because he isn't getting what he wants. Now, this was in response to Ford saying, and I quote, "I think if he didn't pick up his phone call," and he, so this is the quote, "I would be up that guy's yin yang so far with a firecracker, he didn't know what hit him." Now, apparently that's
rape, by the way.
So Doug Ford, I don't know what's going to happen. He might have to resign over that. Yeah, let's get in a woman and let's get in Kirsten Young. I'd love to see her as a premier of Ontario. You know, why don't you bring in more identity politics? Because at the end of the day, at least it's fairly amusing. You know.
Yeah,
that's the one silver lining.
Doug Ford's had an interesting week, man. He got accused of threatening to sexually assault the CEO of a vaccine distributor. he's also pleaded to help to President Biden to send vaccines to Canada. He literally said, "Oh, you know, help your neighbor. You want us to be all hunky-dory, kumbaya? Help us out. You helped us out with the mask, Kalamazoo, Michigan." You know, he was saying all this stuff just like because if you haven't heard, Canada's getting like no vaccines this week from Pfizer, which is meanwhile, Israel, I think, is vaccinated something like 20% of their population. I know they're a small country, right? Whatever. But yeah. It's embarrassing how few vaccines we've had. What else has Doug Ford done? Oh, he released this video of him saying stay at home in like 12 different languages.
And he butchered. I don't speak 12 languages, but I speak, you know, I know how they sound. And he just butchered every single one of them, including English.
Yeah, he's just...
Hi, folks. There's one thing that's uniting all of us in Ontario, and that is stay at home. Restez à la maison. Taizai jolly. Low fun. Hi, okay. Stare e casa, curre ro, cadete en casa, shalik fi alabate.
Stay at home, rest a la maison, restito en el maison cito.
Manatili sabahai, carme rahir.
Yeah, interesting week for Doug Ford. I don't know. Everyone's mad at him.
I find him endearing
is the problem. I want to be mad at him, but and I, you know, I'm not psyched about the job that he's done. But I do find him kind of endearing, and I do know that that doesn't make him a good politician or whatever. But I whenever I look at him at those press conferences, you can look in his eyes. And he just looks tired. He looks like he's gained weight. He's not looking, he's frustrated with the job. He's pissing off everybody. No, it doesn't matter what decision he makes. Everybody's going to be mad. You just know this isn't the job he had in mind when he ran for leader of the PC party.
All he wants to do is make cheesecakes.
He wants to make cheesecakes. You know, I'm not going to say give the guy a break. We should be on his ass like white on rice. But you know what? I kind of like him. Whatever. Thank you for that last transition, and thank you for watching. Just as a final side note, I am a big Toronto Blue Jays fan, and I wanted to just put out there that I might be starting a baseball podcast based on the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of starting it. If you're a Blue Jays fan, you probably had a little bit of an exciting weekend. We signed George Springer on this big contract. We're looking for more pitching. Everything's on the up. So I'll let you guys know about that one. Maybe just leave a like or give a comment if you want to.
Can I co-host it?
No, you absolutely... I mean, you don't know anything about baseball, so I don't... Maybe that'd be fun. Maybe you could come on as a guest host and just talk about cricket or polo or whatever the you guys do over there. But anyways, enough of that. Thank you for viewing. Give us a like, give us a comment, give us an email. We still have that email, and I know we haven't done much with it in a little while, but maybe next week we'll read a few submissions. That's bobbyandnico@gmail.com. www.thebrainfarm.com. Be sure to give us a PayPal donation. It means the world to us. Buy a t-shirt for us. Just buy a t-shirt for yourself from us. It's a great gift for you or someone that you love. Buy a SodaStream. Nico, do you have anything to say?
Have a good weekend.
Have a good week, and we'll see you for episode 35.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.